Sit back and relax. It's time to improve your financial lot in life. Produced at CFIS-FM Studios in Prince George, this is your tune-up. And here's your host, Deb Ross.
Hello and welcome. So as my listeners know, I have a heart of compassion for people who are struggling with debt loads. And I'm really interested in bringing good information, solid and reliable information and education to people who are struggling with debt. So today I have invited Leah Drewcock. She is a licensed insolvency trustee. She works here in the Prince George region with MNP Limited. So welcome, Leah. I'm so glad that you could take the time out of your very busy day, come and spend some time with me and answer some questions and share some very valuable information with our listeners.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
So can you start off just by telling us a little bit about yourself? How long have you been a licensed insolvency trustee?
Sure. I obtained my insolvency licensed insolvency trustee designation in 2009. However, I have been working in the industry since the year 2000. So I have a little over 15 years experience working with debt.
Do you know what year we're in? It's 2008.
Yeah, it's been a while.
That's 18 years.
I know, I said it seems like longer.
It is longer. So tell us about your journey. What personally attracted you to be working with people in stressful financial situations?
Well, initially, I was actually going to become an accountant, and I was working with a local accounting firm. In 1999, I obtained my accounting and finance diploma from the local college here, the College of New Caledonia, and I was hired as an accounting student with KPMG. And I happened to upon an opportunity to assist the insolvency department with filing their personal income tax returns. And while I was there doing the tax returns, I was observing the trustee and his counselors working with individuals and helping them. And I was attracted to the opportunity of helping individuals and families get relief from their debt and work toward financial independence and financial freedom. So I asked if I could transfer out of accounting into the insolvency field. And it took a little bit of convincing, but I did get the support of the partners in the firm at the time. And I started out by taking the insolvency counselor's course, and I became a qualified insolvency counselor in 2002. And after I obtained my hours to complete that course, I entered into the trustee licensing program, which took me a few years. I had some babies in between, and but in May of 2009, I was granted my license. And sort of fast forward till present day, I've been working with MNP since May of 2015, so a little over 3 years now.
So when you say really fast, it doesn't sound like a lot of effort, but I know this is a great deal of effort, a great deal of education, and a great deal of time that you've invested into becoming the professional that you are.
It took me between 5 and 7 years to obtain my license from the time I started out with counseling to the time I obtained my license. And there were a number of home study courses. There's an oral board examination and a final written exam before you can apply for your license. So it was a lot of work.
So you're very committed to this career path. It almost, I would use the word passion. Mm-hmm. This was a lot of effort for you to become who you are today and what you are today.
Well, that's just it. It was going to be a career, not just a job. And when I saw the other trustee that I was working for at the time, his name is Carl Wickjord, working with individuals, I felt that it was almost like a small business or in a family situation where we were helping people. We weren't just, you know, charging a fee for a service, say goodbye, you're done. I felt that we were really becoming a part of these people's lives and assisting them.
Well, you're a part of changing their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a huge invitation that we have as professionals in this field to be invited into these people's lives and their families and do a lot of good.
I do end up learning a lot more about an individual than, say, even their banker or their accountant would know.
Yes.
Because it is such a personal
thing. They're very vulnerable.
Yes, they are.
So we have been hearing a great deal about the magnitude of personal debt in Canada, and I would use the word problem debt in our lives in Canada over the past several years. Can you comment from your perspective and from your research on how bad the Canadian debt problem actually is? And we're talking personal household debt here.
I was anticipating this question, and I did some research because I wanted some up-to-date statistics for you. And in 2017...
Interesting, we've got a siren going on, if you can hear. So this is how bad the Canadian debt problem is.
The rescue us. We're in debt. The household debt in Canada in 2017 in the third quarter reached an all-time high of 173% of gross income of the household.
That is a huge number. So we're talking gross income. That's the number before any taxes, any deductions are taken off of a paycheck. That is a big number, 173%.
You think about it, if your family brings home $100,000 gross before taxes, you're actually spending $171,000 a year.
We said $173,000 a year because the all-time
Correct.
High was 173%, right?
Correct. And we're currently at 171%.
Well, we've done a little better.
A little.
That's a really high number. So we have a big problem here in Canada.
We do. And some experts will tell you that the debt isn't a problem, that we're managing it. And if you refer to annual consumer insolvency rates, you'll see that they've been slowly shrinking over the years. In fact, insolvency rates are approximately 4.2% or 4.2 of every 1,000 people. So that's actually less than 4.2%. And they have been shrinking. However, I think you would agree there are a number of people out there who haven't actually filed an insolvency process, but they could definitely be considered to be insolvent.
Personally, looking at that statistic, I would just throw that one right out the window because there are so many people and so many families that are insolvent. However, they haven't sat down and crunch their numbers to see if they actually are, if their debt problem has become to the problematic stage that they have reached the point of insolvency. And of course, not sitting down and looking at those numbers, that is avoidance, but that really is the first step to avoiding insolvency, is to avoid it altogether. So we'll just ignore that statistic because I don't think that's reflective of reality at all.
You might, or the listeners may be surprised to know what the definition of insolvent is.
Please go ahead. Give us the definition.
To be considered insolvent, you are unable to pay your debts in full as they come due, or the minimum payments as they come due. You only need to owe $1,000 and be unable to pay it, or be unable to sell your assets to pay out your debt. So I think when you look at that as a definition, you realize that we do have a lot more insolvency situations on our hands.
We do. So what are the most common circumstances or sets of circumstances that bring people to call you because their debt situation is no longer manageable and they've come to a point where we've just got to take care of this? What are the common circumstances?
There is no box to fit a person in if they are having debt. Debt is indiscriminate. I would say that anybody in Canada could at some point in their life be suffering from the ability to pay their debts. Some of the more common circumstances that bring people to me are relationship breakdowns, job loss, illness or accident, extended periods of time off work, unemployment. More recently, we see a lot of family pressures where we have additions to the family. We have elderly parents still supporting their adult children. We have elderly parents supporting their elderly parents, where we have, you know, more than one generation living in the home, sharing costs. There are some other factors such as addiction, drug and alcohol addiction, gambling, shopping addiction, trying to keep up with the Joneses, so to speak. And those are just some of the more common reasons.
You know, it's interesting when we look at that list and listen to that list, those are not uncommon events.
Not at all. Not at all.
I actually think that there are people who are experiencing perhaps more than one of those on the list at the same time.
Absolutely. And they may or may not be insolvent because of it. However, those are all factors that can add to financial strain.
Now, bankruptcy still has a certain social stigma attached to it. And a lot of people that I speak with directly and personally have the idea that if they are in a financial crunch, they really have that knee-jerk reaction to avoid bankruptcy. So what other option is available for folks who are insolvent but are looking to avoid bankruptcy?
Well, there are a number of options for those who are overwhelmed by their debt. There are some legal, formal procedures that an individual could apply for. And there are some informal solutions. Something as simple as reworking the budget may be enough for some individuals to get themselves out of debt. They could sell some assets. I always say there's three ways of improving your financial situation without having to file a bankruptcy or a proposal. Make more money, spend less, or sell something, or of course a combination of all of the above. And if that doesn't work, then you can look towards consolidating or borrowing from friends or family, perhaps settling with your individual creditors. And then we come to the more legal processes of, for example, orderly payment of debts, although that's not an available option in BC, it is in other provinces. And then we have consumer proposal or bankruptcy as the last resort.
Okay, so I've invited you here to speak about debt solutions, but most importantly, today our topic is about consumer proposals. So can you talk to us and tell us what is a consumer proposal?
A consumer proposal is an arrangement between you and your unsecured creditors to settle your debt. If you qualify, you can consolidate all of your unsecured debt into one monthly payment over a fixed period of time, and you will often end up paying less than what you owe.
So specific circumstances make this a viable option for people. But what's the history of consumer proposal legislation in Canada?
The consumer proposal legislation came about in the early 90s, and I believe at the time we were still utilizing the court system to use orderly payment of debts, and licensed insolvency trustees were administering bankruptcies, and consumer proposals became an additional option because a lot of people didn't want to file bankruptcy because, as you say, there was a stigma involved. They wanted to pay something, a percentage or a portion of their debt, and bankruptcy just wasn't an option for them. They were not eligible for consolidation or other options. And so legislation was changed to allow for the filing of a consumer proposal with a licensed insolvency trustee.
So basically it was taking the burden off of the court system then?
Absolutely.
Okay, which seems like good organization. Our court systems are already overloaded. We don't need to be dealing with debt issues in court.
They're very backlogged, and it's costly to use the court system for the taxpayer as well.
Yeah.